Welcome to the IFRS Foundation podcast. My name is Claire Short and I am part of the communications team. Today I am joined by Hans Hulvorst and Sue Lloyd, Chair and Vice Chair of the International Accounting Standards Board, respectively. Following on from April's supplementary meeting held to look at COVID-19 related issues, the board held another supplementary meeting in May to continue these discussions. During the session, they agreed on the amendments to IFRS 16 leases to help lessees who are facing specific accounting challenges as a result of the ongoing pandemic. Hans, can you tell us some more?
Yeah, sure, Claire. So over the past few weeks, the board has tackled an issue that was facing lessees because of COVID-19 related rent concessions. And if we had let the standard unchanged, many contracts, because of these rent concessions, would have been necessary to review them to see whether there would be a lease modification, which involves a lot of work. So in April, we published an exposure draft outlining our proposed amendments to IFRS 16 with a very brief two-week comment period, so we could help stakeholders resolve these challenges as quickly as possible. And more than 100 stakeholders reacted and wrote us comment letters. Even despite the fact that there was only a very brief comment period, people were very interested and replied to us. At the May supplementary board meeting, which we held virtually on the 15th of May 2020, we considered feedback received in response to the exposure draft, and we agreed to some changes, tweaking the amendments a little bit as a result of the comments that we received. For example, we have provided for a longer time frame to capture COVID-19 related rent concessions until the 30th of June 2021, which is an extension of 6 months than relative to what we originally proposed. We issued the amendments in the last week of May, and the amendment basically allows lessees to assume that a rent concession was contemplated in the original contract and to apply simpler accounting as a result. It applies to COVID-19 related rent concessions that reduce lease payments due on or before the 30th of June 2021. We had a long discussion about the position of lessors. The amendment does not affect lessors. We discussed it at length because we received a lot of comments on this issue. And we know that lessors also have accounting challenges. On balance, though, the board decided not to extend the amendment to lessors. Complicated question. Those who are interested might want to look at the paper that was presented to the board on this topic.
And that paper is available on our website under the current projects on our work plan. While we're talking about COVID-19 related matters, it's worth mentioning that the various narrow scope amendments that were delayed from March and April because of the pandemic were published as a consolidated bundle in mid-May. More information on these amendments and the IFRS 16 amendment can be found on ifrs.org. Moving on to issues raised at the regular board meeting this May, discussions focused on the board's two most time-sensitive projects, IFRS 17 insurance contracts and IBOR. Hans, can you fill us in on the developments with IFRS 17?
Yes, so in March of this year, we gave a green light to the staff to draft amendments to IFRS 17 insurance contracts. And at this meeting, we discussed some smaller questions that came up while drafting the amendments, so-called sweep issues. We sorted those questions out and we plan to issue the final amendments to IFRS 17 in June 2020 as planned. There's one question that just keeps popping up in public discussions about the standards, which is the question about the necessity of annual cohorts. We continue to think that annual cohorts are extremely important to accurately depict the performance of a company, to be able to for investors to be able to judge the profitability of an insurance company. I have written an article with more detail on this question. It's published on our website, so everybody who's interested in that, I point to this article. They might find it interesting to read.
Thank you, Hans. Moving on to IBOR, Sue, can you summarize what was discussed at this month's meeting?
Sure. So at the meeting, the staff gave us an oral update about the feedback on the exposure draft on phase two of IBOR reform. Actually, oral feedback before the comment period had actually closed a few days ahead of that. But based on the feedback we were aware of to date, we were told that the comments on the exposure draft are positive overall, and that stakeholders support the proposals for the changes resulting from IBOR reform. As is always the case, there are some suggestions for changes, but people did also acknowledge that it's important that we proceed quickly rather than spending, you know, an extended period of time working on potential changes to what we proposed. Since the board meeting, the comment letter period has closed, and so we'll see the detailed analysis of all of the feedback we've got through the comment letters and the outreach shortly. Our plan is still to issue these IBOR-related amendments in the third quarter of this year.
Thank you, Sue. The board continues to work on other projects that are not yet at consultation stage to ensure that we maintain momentum. Hans, can you update us on management commentary, please?
So we still aim to publish the revised practice statement management commentary by the end of this year. This month, we looked more closely at disclosure objectives. And in particular, we discussed information that a company should disclose on risks that could disrupt its business model, its strategy, and resources or relationships. Now, such lists of risks easily turn into long boilerplate disclosures, and we want to avoid that. We decided that the focus should be on the things that a company is actually monitoring and managing, rather than all possible things that might affect the company. And we also decided to put it in simple language to really focus on what it is that is keeping management awake at night. We also looked at information a company should disclose on how its external environment affects its business model, its strategy, and risks. And at the future meeting, we plan to discuss the final content area of the management commentary, which is a company's performance, position, and progress. We were also updated on another project and touched on maintenance and consistent application. And let me hand over to Sue to summarize those discussions.
Okay, thanks, Hans. So first looking at one of the maintenance projects. So in August last year, we published an exposure draft disclosure of accounting policies in which we proposed replacing the reference to the word significant with a requirement to disclose material accounting policies to clarify the threshold for disclosing information in financial statements. And this is because investors have told us sometimes there's just pages and pages of sort of repetition of our requirements of our standards in the accounting policy section of financial statements, which is, you know, they see as clutter. So we've previously looked at a summary of the comments we received, and at this month's meeting, we looked in some more detail at some of the proposals set out in the exposure draft and the feedback that we got. So for example, at this board meeting, we discussed whether to adjust the proposed amendments in IAS 1 to explain that in fact, material accounting policy information can sometimes include sort of standard descriptions or duplicate the requirements of IFRS standards. Now, for those of you who are looking for some entertainment, you can go and listen to the tape and you'll see that there was a very long discussion on this. And in the end, we decided it would be best if the staff brought back some additional analysis so we could agree on the best wording to try and capture the circumstances when, in fact, it would be appropriate to duplicate the requirements of our standards when that would be material information without just resulting in clutter. Quite nuanced to get that right. We also discussed the feedback that we received on the proposed new examples that we had suggested be added to the materiality practice statement to assist entities in deciding when information about an accounting policy would be material and should be included in the financial statements. So we'll continue those re-deliberations at future meetings. Staying on the topic of maintenance and consistent application, we also continued our discussions about a proposed narrow scope amendment, again to IFRS 16, the leasing standard, in this case dealing with some very specific sale and leaseback transactions. And at this meeting, we talked about the transition and effective date aspects of that proposed amendment. So just to avoid confusion, this is different to the amendment that Hans was talking about earlier, dealing with COVID-19 related rent concessions. This is to do with sale and leaseback transactions. So we wrapped up this discussion on this topic at the May meeting and gave permission to the staff to start the balloting process and agreed to have a 120-day comment period for this proposed amendment to IFRS 16.
Thank you, Sue and Hans, for joining me today. Like a lot of people at the moment, we are all working from home, so please accept our apologies for some of the background noise in this recording. We hope it wasn't too distracting. Any of our listeners interested in the activities of the IFRS Interpretations Committee can follow its dedicated podcasts, all episodes of which can be accessed via YouTube, your podcast player, or our website. Indeed, these are the locations you can find all of our podcasts. Find the full IASB update as well as the updated work plan on our website at ifrs.org. If you have any comments on this podcast, please email communications@ifrs.org. Until next time, keep well.